Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Corn was down 7 for the week, beans rallied 7. Which one is the lucky number? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with the president of U.S. Commodities, Don Rose. Our panelists today are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, Eladon Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, and Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. How much of the new crop corn do you think farmers should have forward priced today? And where would you have them make catch-up sales based on the December futures contract? Paul Cooley.
Well, Todd, these are my opinions and not necessarily ADM's or ADM Investor Services, but my opinion is that the trend is down right now officially. But I think that the price level is a very scary situation. And I can say the catch-up price levels, I think, should be 275 and north. My general impression is that the typical farmer probably has enough corn sold at this time.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Well, I'd like to have guys with 30% of their cash done, and if they've got more of that, fine. But I want them to, you know, catch up on anything above 270. I think we still got some upside left. I'd also like them on up moves to protect another 30% with puts.
And Alan Dearden of Ag Review.
We're looking at about a third sold at current levels and higher. Catch-up sales needed to be taking place between 268 and 272.
Ellen, you always have more stats and fundamentals than anybody else when you come into the room. What is it you've been looking at that you find of most interest this week?
I tell you the truth, it was mostly on the technical side I thought was the most interesting, and that is that we broke down last week below the 20-day moving averages, knocked the funds out of things, and we've done nothing but see some breakdowns of a little triangle, a little sideways formation, and I thought the technicals were more important than the fundamentals this week in the corn.
May corn futures this week at a high of 240 and three quarters. They're low at $2.29 and a quarter. The settlement price at 230 and three quarters on the weekly trade continuation chart, 7.5 cents lower from last Friday. December contract at 264, off 7.75. Pete, your assessment of technically where this market lands?
Well, we made a new low this week again, current low, and that didn't look good. And then we tried the highs again, but we couldn't hold them, so we went back to those towards those lows. And it just looks like a down for now here nearby through the end of planting.
Three tops in the December corn contract?
Well, triple hot top never holds, you know, when it's all said and done. My general impression is that there's a lot of value in corn. You look at the tremendous carry in the corn market. It tells us there's probably better times down the road. And that comes in a three-part equation: exports, fuel, and also the general idea of feed usage as well. Our general impression is that the Chinese have backed away from the exporting of corn in the big fashion. So there is a lot of good things in the corn market. The problem is it is an expensive commodity to raise, and the attention on the worldwide financial commodity markets are on crude oil, and corn is a big part of that equation.
Given a normal growing season, Paul, when you look out into the fall, and you said officially the trend is lower, that's pretty that into the fall, that's something that normally happens. We're a long ways from the fall, so but officially at this time you're calling the trend lower. When you look out, can you see an LDP for producers this fall?
I don't think it's going to be anything monumental like we saw in the last previous years. I think the last two you'd have to say was a transportation issue. I think that we're seeing two things in the industry. I think we're seeing a gear up and storage building by the commercials. And also, I think that we are looking at some point in time increased demand that almost is unbelievable. And, of course, that's commercial utilization of corn into ethanol.
Ellen, on the LDP front, given that there at this point it looks like limited LDP, probably maybe no counter-cyclical payment for corn producers, does that change the way you think about the marketplace?
Not if I can get a 250 type cash price for December or January delivery. Doesn't change my thinking at all. We've been trying to tell people to be thinking instead of a 30 to 40 cent LDP that we've seen the last couple of years, to see whether what you're looking at is a dime or less, whether you can live with that cash price.
You know, let me go back to the cash price. What are we at, 230 for fall delivery or thereabouts, I think, today, possibly 230, 233, something like that. If you get out a little further, what are you? How do you come up with a cash price of 250?
There's just a tremendous carry in our area, in the Peoria area, between fall delivery and particularly going out to the January or to the March. There's even a dime between December and January at this stage of the game.
Yeah, I think that looking out to the March or even a little further, that carry is really something to take advantage of, and it will pay to store it. But yeah, we think that 250, as Ellie said, was a good place. So I've got guys that have been selling all along, and especially when they get these bumps over 270. And if we have anything that pushes it higher, which we do think it will happen, good opportunities for more selling above the 270 on the board.
I think you're going to also see a different philosophical nature from the farmer. He's going to be a little more optimistic because of the inflation cost of energy and putting those crops out. He realizes that there is this big carry in the marketplace, and he's going to be very careful about choosing better prices. We've seen this year, particularly in the farmer holding the soybeans. He's also going to, I think, be a very strong holder of all commodities, just based on this idea of the new type of marketplace. And we also have another ingredient here that other panelists haven't talked about, is called commodity funds.
And we'll get to those with the soybeans in just a second. But I do want to pick up the wheat market. We might talk a little bit about the commodity funds and the wheat as well. The Wheat Quality Council Tour put Kansas output this week at 319 million bushels. That's down 100 million bushels from last year's tour results. Also, the private firm Informa pegged the total crop at 690 million bushels, down 26% from last year. There's no doubt, by the way, that the hard red winter wheat crop is and has been in trouble. Should soft red winter wheat producers with a good-looking crop on their hands today take advantage of the inflated prices in Chicago, Ellen?
I think they should. The basis, however, is extraordinarily wide for harvest delivery when you look at that July Chicago wheat at 372, and you have a 60 or a 50 cent basis under that. It's kind of hard for guys to be wanting to swallow that basis, but I sure think that the board needs to be sold. If you go out and look at the carry going to the December, you're up over $4, 60 cent basis there is probably a little narrower than 60 cents. That may be the place to do it if you can hold the wheat into that December time frame.
Cooley, you're going to talk to me a little bit about next year's crop, not
yeah,
this year.
Yeah, everybody out there, somebody out there in video land or something sure encouraged a bunch of people to think that anything like at 420 or something north of there was a wonderful opportunity to experiment on the short side of the wheat market for 2007. You know, my idea is that there's a lot of people have played that game. There better be a robust acreage increase out there because of high competing costs of planting corn and other commodities. But the marketplace is short out there, and they're anticipating a lot of wheat acreage next year. And we got a situation every time that old crop wheat goes up in Kansas City, that new crop wheat goes up the same amount. And somebody's going to have to play a game there about, oh my gosh, it is pretty strong here. And I want to just know how many acres we are going to get extra playing that game.
And well, and if you think back here a month ago or 2 months ago, we had Chicago wheat July at $4. I had a lot of guys do their stuff then when we had Chicago at $4, and I don't remember what Kansas City was the last time, but I mean, if I'm a wheat grower, I'm going to be locking in some of this with some kind of something for down the road.
And not only for this year, but for the following year?
For the following year, we hit 430-something today. I know some guys that have been hedged to arrives that it looked pretty good to them.
You got guys that normally don't plant wheat thinking about it?
I've got guys in southern third of Illinois that haven't planted wheat in a lot of years that are considering planting wheat this fall. Or a lot more.
Taking a look at the numbers from the wheat pit, the May contract, a high of 367 this week, the low at 349. May wheat settled at 361 and a quarter. They were up 15 cents from last week. July futures at 372 and a quarter were up 13 and one quarter. Soy complex now, May beans, 601 and a half, the high, the low at 585. Settlement price for the May contract, $5.94 and a quarter cents. They were up 7 and a quarter from last week. November beans at 6.25 and a quarter were up 4 and three quarters. Safras this week, that's a South American-based agricultural consulting firm, lowered its Brazilian bean estimate. It is the fourth reduction in the size of the crop, which Safras first estimated last October at 59.5 million metric tons. This week, that number was lowered to just over 54 million metric tons. It might be important, by the way, to note here that this would still be a 2% increase over the previous record crop that was reported last year at 52.9 million metric tons. Another tidbit from Safras, it reports domestic crushings down 1%, exports up 3%, and the ending stocks in Brazil for this crop year, pay attention to this one, off 65% for the ending stocks in Brazil. That's the lowest since the 2002 crop. Have we found the reason beans in Chicago remain strong?
I think that these people are very creative writers, Todd. And, of course, they're paid to say positive things. And, of course, they still got an enormous carryover. Their prices down there is a buck and a half cheaper than the U.S. And the basis is weakening this week, and the farmers are protesting. They're stuck on paying their fertilizer bills, their inputs. They owe the co-ops a ton of money. And, you know, there's a tremendous dilemma down there about a problem that's worse than the farmer problem here in the mid-'80s. So my opinion is that if somebody could write something creative down there to bring a smile to somebody, good luck, particularly in that soybean complex. The big factor here is they're going to have to either export it or reduce the acreage. And we all know that it's awful hard to get a farmer not to plant acres, particularly when there's bills to be come due.
We talked to Daryl Good Friday afternoon, actually Friday morning. He still thinks that given supply and demand, at least, that the price of beans is still 80 cents over where maybe it ought to be in the November contract. Would you agree with that? And do you think farmers need to sell $6 beans?
Well, as I want to tell Daryl and remind him that this is a futures market, and as of today, it's not telling us that same answer. But I think the big factor here is that the soybean oil, after doing a lot of research, is an energy commodity. We've searched the world over, and is there any new secret deal to turn soybean oil into soy diesel in a snap of the finger? And the answer is no, but there is new technology coming on. But soybean oil is reflective of that commodity. Farmers in the U.S. are strongholders of soybeans, and there is a strong basis and good processing margins in the same way in South America. My general impression is that the soybean market is very stout right now and doesn't want to break any 50 to 80 cents. Now, sometime in the August time frame or sometime when we find out the true acreage here planted, you know, it might stumble. But right now, it's stout, and good luck, Daryl.
Well, Daryl, for the record, didn't say it needed to be 80 cents lower. He said it probably ought to be 80 cents lower based on the numbers for supply and demand. Daryl, of course, knows Chicago sets the numbers officially. The Paul Cooley forecast for beans is higher at this point?
Well, right now, unfortunately, Todd, yes. And there are a lot of people out there bearish and looking at some very big carryovers by the USDA. And hopefully they'll start reflecting these bigger numbers in the marketplace. But right now, that soybean market is stout.
Ellie, what do you think about the bean market?
I would agree with you. The thing that really that I like about most about the bean market, I think, is that when we had this gap up a week ago in beans, every time we kind of came back to that gap, we saw buying come in. Now, on Friday, we did see that July contract go up over 6.12, which has been a lot of resistance there, got to 6.14 and a half, I think. We couldn't close there, but as soon as we have a close there, I think we're right on our way to 6.38, 6.40, somewhere in that vicinity. I think the market is so bearish on beans that nobody has anything dialed in that this market can head higher.
Are you scale up selling into those prices then?
I have not been a scale up seller there, but I sure would be letting some November futures loose in that 640 to 650 range.
I would be looking at selling the Novembers if we get back over the 630 into the 640s. The old crop July, we did make new highs this week, recent highs. And I think we could go another 20, 30, like Ellie said, up on those. But I would be using those as opportunities to catch up on old sales and to look at either protection with puts or making some new sales.
And where do you stand on making sales for beans?
Well, basically I'd be out of all old beans. And, you know, what I get my opinion of it is that the farmers are holding almost twice the bout of soybeans that they normally do at this particular time of year. Our general impression is that just looking at the fundamentals, strong sales at $6 plus in new crop beans should augur well for price improvement. But the point is that the market's not cooperating and the dynamics of the marketplace has changed a great deal, and one factor has been the soybean oil.
May oats settled at $1.89.5. They were up $1.25 for the week. From the Mercantile Exchange, June live cattle had a high this week of 75.60. They're low at 73.45. They settled at $73.85. And the May feeder cattle, that's your new lead option, settled at $99.80. They were down 72.5 cents from last week. Lean hogs may contract 68.80, the high, the low at 65.97.5. A settlement price there at 67.40, off 47.5 cents. And the May bellies at 85.15. We're off $3.42.5. We're heading into the summer season. That's the time of year when livestock producers get excited because it's grill out season, not too terribly far away, but and prices don't look like they're going to reflect it very well.
Well, first of all, in the cattle market, it's going to be a tough time to get everything rolling, even though if we do open up beef to Japan. That's the first factor. And over in the hog market, the beautiful thing about it is that we have such a tremendous oversupply of meat right now in the marketplace. The positive thing about the pork is that the poultry production seems to be dropping off some, and we do see some price rallies in hogs on the minimum side, though.
Ellen Dearden, what do you make of the meat market?
On the cattle side, I'm really worried because packers own a lot of cattle, so I think the next 40 days is going to be pretty difficult in the cattle market, and maybe the futures will kind of drag into midsummer. I don't think there's a lot of downside past the last lows in the hogs.
In just about 2 minutes, we'll talk with Don Rose of U.S. Commodities.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. After a couple of days of inclement weather over the weekend, the weather turned warm and dry, allowing spring planting activities to resume across most of Illinois. A slow-moving low-pressure system moving northward through the Central Plains and Midwest last weekend produced a broad swath of showers and thunderstorms from Oklahoma through Indiana. While the rain in Illinois was not as heavy as initially was thought, most of the state received at least a half inch of rain by Monday of this week, and it drove a stake through the heart of the drought in Illinois. The southern quarter of Illinois saw substantially more rain, generally between an inch and a half and 3 inches. Conditions began to improve there early Thursday once a cold front pushed south of the Ohio River. Despite the rain and cloudiness early in the week, temperatures continued to average well above normal. The mild air combined with sunshine and low humidity later in the week allowed for a quick return of conditions favoring field work. High pressure will bring us sunshine and seasonably cool weather this weekend. Temperatures should warm to near normal readings next Monday and Tuesday in advance of another cold front. This front should trigger showers and thunderstorms as it plows through the Midwest on Tuesday and Wednesday, and it will be followed by cooler weather again for Illinois the last half of next week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today on Commodity Week are Ellen Dearden of Ag Review out of Morton, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joining us now from West Des Moines, Iowa, is the president of U.S. Commodities, Don Rose. He started U.S. Commodities in 1986. The company is a full-service grain and livestock investment management firm. Thanks for joining us today, Don.
Yeah, thank you.
Tell me about the corn crop there in Iowa. Will farmers there put more corn in the ground than USDA estimated back in March?
Well, you know, it's hard to switch those rotations, and I think where we're really at is, you know, the income structure is definitely there for the corn. The expense structure is also there, so it's debatable. But what we're seeing is corn, with the weather that we have, is conducive to plant corn, and they're planting corn. So, you know, if acres are down, I don't think they're going to be down to the degree that the government says, but we'll wait and see.
Don, on a survey on Friday of about 20 fertilizer plants, our survey indicated that the farmer was a little stingy this year on putting up on the anhydrous and also some dry fertilizer. What's your take of that, and do you sense that the same thing happened in Iowa?
Well, I think exactly. I think what they've, you know, I think what they've thought in the past is maybe that they were putting on too much fertilizer and not getting total usage on it. And there's, you know, with the new systems out here, I think they're putting on it more efficiently. So I don't know if we're really losing any yield potential, but I think maybe using less in the application is better.
In the corn market here, fundamentally and technically, what are you looking at as far as which one's driving the show, and do fundamentals even matter right now?
Well, you know, I think the fundamental structure of the market is much more negative than the soybeans. If you look at the carries out into that July 07, DEASE 06 corn, we've been spending a lot of time putting carry into the market. You know, we're out there zeroing in around that 20-cent carry, 2¾ cents a month, if you will, where soybeans puts around 2 cents a month carry. So no doubt we're saying we have a big potential corn crop that we have to distribute over time. So I think the structure is more negative, and you know, I think the excitement was more interesting on the to the funds on the corn. But I guess we feel it's a big, broad traders market, really, with a lot of uncertainty.
What's your advice to producers then, given your thoughts on carry in the marketplace?
Well, we think if you look at it, last year that carry went out to 31 cents on new crop carry from DEASE to July, and, you know, the structure of the market is set up again, you know, 25 to 30 cents is not out of line. So, you know, when you get selling corn around this 270 mark, you know, you're really selling close to $3 corn if you have storage and you can get it out there. And, you know, those are numbers that you can live with if you're going to have a carry out that is going to get anywhere close to a 2 billion bushel number.
The funds have been really out of the soybean market this week, have wiggled their way out. Are they about ready to come back in, or are they going to stay in the bean oil market, or what's going to happen there? What do you see?
Well, we think that they got caught up with the psychology, just like a lot of the trade is trying to press the market, and for all the reasons. And, you know, really, it really hasn't had a lot of success there. And so we think, you know, the technicals have been positive since we flipped over 598 on November and spent that time liquidating that position. So we think it's a big, broad traders market there, too, with no doubt fundamentally overvalued. And we should get a wake-up call on the May 12th report.
Don, I hinted to it in, you know, our earlier conversations here on the topics discussed, but do you sense that the farmer is going to be a very strong holder this coming year on commodities when it's all said and done?
Well, I think, again, like this last year, he's going to look at the government program, and he's going to do a lot of marketing around that. And we think that's one of the reasons the soybeans at the present time, you know, basis levels much tighter than they are on corn, because he took the LDP on corn and he took the loan on soybeans, and here we sit, you know. And we think the structure will be the same next year. If there's not an LDP on corn, he may just opt for a loan on corn, and there we sit, and the same thing on soybeans. So we think a lot of it is going to be dependent on counter-cyclical payments, how, you know, where we sit in relationship to loan, and those are probably yet to be determined.
When do those beans come out? What does that do to the marketplace from last fall?
Well, and I think that's a big issue. We have, what, 334 million beans under loan nationally, and very few of those are going to be carried into the next year. And, you know, a lot of those are going to be coming due through the gut slot of the summer. So, you know, basis opportunities are probably, you're staring them in the face here right now, because you don't want to fight with that competition down the road.
How about on the corn side with all we've got to deliver this fall to get rid of that carryout? What's that look like as far as marketing?
Well, I tell you, the producer, this structure, we've been staring at it long enough that, you've got a basis level that's just, wide, primarily due to, big supplies in the marketplace, but also the increase in energy. And we may get surprised on this one. Last year, we just had an ugly basis all the way through. But, we've been spending a lot of time preparing, and the carry in the market is there that you can actually carry old crop to new crop on through if you have the storage. So who's going to do that? And probably somebody will as supplies tighten, from the this year to next and the year after.
Don, we're still seeing corn piled outside. Farmer ownership of corn is extremely strong. The only basis level that seems to improve is the spot basis, and that's marginally improved. Is there any hope for this corn basis?
I think near term, no. I think, if you look at it, I think the commercial is forced to fight the free stocks of the farmer, and the farmer has 50-cent leeway to deal with, and I think that is just a structural problem for right now. The farmer's beating everybody to the punch selling it. The commercial's ending up with the stocks, and he's going to have to decide whether he takes a small basis improvement or whether he wants to carry it on to next year. And, somebody will carry it into next year because we have to distribute those stocks, those ending stocks, over time. And, I think that's going to keep the basis levels probably just wide, but the farmer's probably going to come out okay.
Tell me about your cash sales, corn, soybeans, and wheat at this point.
Well, right now we're 60% sold on corn and soybeans, and we did so up between this 265 and 270 area plus on Dee's corn, and the same thing on soybeans. 60% sold, and our average is up around that 624. We think those are all nice prices. We think they're overvalued from a fundamental standpoint. We think the crop has gone in decent shape, or it will, and we think that means that you have to give your head nod to being over 50% sold. And then take your chances on weather down the road. When you have subsoil moisture recharging, you don't want to be, looking at the stars in the fall. So we want to be aggressive sellers here. If you're nervous about that, cover them with some call options and go forward.
How's the farmer attitude about the potential for dry weather this summer? Do they anticipate it, or is it just something that they'll live with?
Well, we had the universities that were pretty aggressive here up at Iowa State that was out running around doing their winter seminars, and they were quite emphatic that we were going to have a drought this summer. And so, they have that beat into their mind if you went to those seminars. But, realistically, that La Nina is weakening, and I think the farmer realizes that, listen, you're out here and it feels more normal than it has, for some years. So, it feels right now, I think, to us and the farmer that, if you're going to get beat, you're going to get beat like an 83 situation where you get dry late.
Don, we appreciate you being with us today.
You betcha.
Don Rose is the president of U.S. Commodities. Now, a final word from our panelists. We'll start with you, Paul Cooley.
One trader told me with these commodity funds coming in and blasting into the marketplace at a given notice, this will help encourage this big carry into the market.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Be ready to make more protective moves or more sales on bounces up if we do have those bounces up here in the nearby.
And Ellen Dearden of Ag Review.
As you market your new crop, don't forget that there's still old in the bins to get rid of.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. The address is willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, looking to nature for discoveries in food, feed, and fuel. ADM, resourceful by nature.